Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete are joined by the all-time leader in DFS cashouts. Plus, all the Taylor Hall trade implications and angles you can think of. DFS plays, best bets, value picks. It's the Tuesday edition.
What's good, everybody? Tuesday morning, Jensen Reese coming at you with this Taylor Hall trade reaction. Robbie, biggest trade of the season, most likely, just happened on Monday.
Let's go. Some fantasy scoops right off the bat here for you guys. I think my initial reaction is going to be the one that I just, the same drum I keep beating for the rest of the season. It's all about the power play now for the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, and I think Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and he's been a fixture on that power play, has not been producing, only has 3 power play points. You see him out there a couple times a game. Let's just imagine it. It's a great thought for someone like me who owns him. I was thinking about dropping him last week. I didn't cut the cord. I was patient, and I didn't expect this Hall trade, but certainly now with Phil Kessel, Clayton Keller, Taylor Hall, playmakers, scorers, all on the ice with OEL, sign me up. I'm happy I kept him.
Agreed. I've got him on a team too, so let's hopefully reap the rewards on that joint venture. But I think even strength-wise for the Coyotes, they have a lot to improve upon as well. Very low shooting percentage for multiple players. So we'll see. I mean, I think Taylor Hall is going to take some ice away and maybe open it up for other guys like Kessel, Keller, guys like that that are maybe a little bit undervalued right now in fantasy. I think there's a lot for them to gain by this.
And Nick Schmaltz maybe too. We'll see who he ends up lining up next to. Speaking of Taylor Hall, and yeah, I think the shooting percentage, whether it's Kessel, Keller, Stepan, OEL, it's going to improve as a team. 5-on-5, not pretty, but the room for improvement is really important when you're trying to gauge how much a single elite player can make an impact on the rest of the roster.
Now for Hall himself, I don't know if this is a situation where you're going to expect the 1.2 points per game that he produced at when he was the MVP winner in 2017-18. But regardless, this is a player that can produce at that rate. Now, is it going to happen out west? Probably not. But as long as he finishes the season around a point per game pace right there, I think that's going to do a lot of fantasy owners good and could be the difference for you in the playoffs.
And this is really significant in the big picture, I think, for Arizona. With they haven't made the playoffs in 7 seasons. They look like they're a division contender right now, tied at the top with Edmonton. And now they're making a move not just to make the playoffs, but maybe to win a round or two or maybe even more. The sky's the limit for them, and they're acting with some urgency here. It's good to see for a market that has struggled for a very long time.
Absolutely. And now let's bring in Chris Wassel, host of Fantasy Hockey X and Devil's Insider for the most part. So, Chris, what's your natural reaction to this Taylor Hall trade?
The natural scoop, as always, is this. It was as good as it could have been. It was as bad as could have been. And simply, it was what was a kind of expected in a way for a guy that clearly had no interest in staying in New Jersey after the start this year. But also, people do have to understand, there's still 46, 47 games left in the regular season. You're not going to get the return on a trade now, as opposed to, say, closer to the trade deadline. So there was a lot of realities and dynamics to this trade and nuances that maybe people weren't used to or weren't expecting. So when they saw the return initially, a lot of, I would say, underwhelmed responses and some outright disappointed people, even in the media as well. So, yeah, it's definitely something that put a jolt into the Monday night water cooler type conversation, for sure.
Chris, for the fantasy spin on this trade, how we try not to overreact to these big moves, especially when it's closer to the deadline because there's not a lot of time to play with, but certainly here there is. It's only mid-December. How much of an impact fantasy-wise do you see Taylor Hall making in the desert?
Now this has more of an impact than normal. So we're not into uncharted territory necessarily, because I've seen trades that were pretty early on in sort of landscape, just not before Christmas of this magnitude. Maybe the closest thing I can think of is maybe Joe Thornton, perhaps, but that was even earlier, and that was out of reflex. So this really for this era itself, basically the post lockout, you know, salary cap era, this is uncharted territory. So you have that. You also have a Arizona Coyotes team that is woefully underperforming at 5-on-5. Aside from the ranking of 27th at 5-on-5 shooting percentage, mm-hmm. you have some crooked numbers in Arizona. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is one player in particular. Now, two goals on, I believe it was 72 shots. It was mm-hmm. it was something like a 2.8 shooting percentage for a guy that's been probably between like 6-9% for most of his career, and just had 14 goals last year. So, is it going to help a guy like him? Oh, absolutely. Is it going to help somebody like Phil Kessel? Absolutely. Now, is this going to be the cure-all and end-all for the Arizona Coyotes? Now, that's a question mark. And that's only because, look, power play was already top 10 in the league. Well,
right.
On the cusp. So, you know, we can argue, as I always joke with people, like, you can argue semantics and numbers, decimal points later. But, you know, approximately a top third team on the power play. Shorthanded, one of the better teams in the league, always. Even strength. The question now becomes this. Is Taylor Hall really 100%? And it has to be asked. It does have to be asked. Is he fully 100% after this quote-unquote knee injury that was more serious than thought? Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't a surgery, and then there was rest involved, and then he had to have it cleaned out. So it takes time for a player to come back from such things.
So we know that OEL is probably one of the biggest beneficiaries, Chris. Mm-hmm. How about a guy like Phil Kessel? Do you apply the logic that Taylor Hall could open up the ice a bit for Kessel and we'll see a boost for him too?
You're going to see a small to modest boost out of Kessel. There's no question about it. And on a power play, I would say there's a slight boost. There's more of a boost actually at even strength. You may see Kessel and Hall paired every so often together. Will it be like, you know, all the time? No. Will it be some of the time? Yes. It's bound to happen. It's going to be tried. It's almost inevitable. And that's a big benefit to him. I think where you're going to see the even bigger benefits is for some of the other players, like the Connor Garlands of the world, where teams won't focus as much on Arizona's middle six.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key. Because if you can bring on a Hall, it obviously bumps everybody down a little bit to a point where it gets them into more comfortable roles. That may make production easier for a team that clearly was pressing from top to bottom as far as scoring goals.
Chris, I'm pretty amped, honestly, to see the line combinations out of the morning skate, especially if Hall is there to play on the road against the San Jose Sharks in his Coyotes debut. Christian Dvorak is one guy who's like on the cusp of our top 100 forward list, just outside right now. But I think if he ends up maybe between Kessel and Taylor Hall, that could be big fantasy implications. Who do you think is going to play with Taylor Hall between maybe Dvorak and Derek Stepan?
The heart says Dvorak just because of the speed and being able to keep up with Hall and Kessel, not from so much a speed standpoint, but more of a cerebral standpoint. Dvorak has kind of that playmaking ability that you want to see in a center, and that also ability to see the ice a little bit better than even a Derek Stepan at this stage. And honestly, look, Dvorak is faster than the two wingers. And you have to look at it that way, too. You do need a little bit of an ump there, to get Hall moving sometimes this time of year. So that's something that has to be looked at. The reality, though, says it's probably going to be Derek Stepan early. They're going to at least play, I believe at least, they're going to play this safe at first.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is, as a Stepan owner, it's pretty much status quo. You know what you're going to get. And if you're a Dvorak owner, don't panic, because eventually it is going to be a line that is tried
mm-hmm.
and will probably succeed a little bit better.
I think these early line combinations after the trade are going to be vital. But I think it all comes down to the power play, where we've seen Kessel thrive before, Taylor Hall has thrived before. I mean, look at the guy's power play numbers over the past three seasons. So if there is one player to get that power play spot, whether it's Dvorak or Stepan, I think that's where the money's at. But Chris, let's turn it back to the Devils here. What do you make now, fantasy-wise, that Taylor Hall's gone?
In some ways, it may actually benefit New Jersey, because they're going to go undervalued everywhere. It'll be on the level of, say, the Detroits and the Ottawas, and even to a lesser extent the LAs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now it becomes a question of, okay, you have two centers. Which one is going to take it upon himself to make it his team? Because, well, let's face it, you have one number one pick in Nico Hischier, and you have one number one pick in Jack Hughes. Hughes looked so far, at least, particularly in the last 15 games or so, to be the better of the two centers. But again, Hischier is also coming back from one of the worst bouts of the flu that you will ever see, and it seems to be particularly bad among hockey players this year, and it will take him some time to get back to 100% strength. So that's where your key point is. You have to see where guys are going to be arranged, and you also are down the road are going to see which players are part of a miniature fire sale sorts come the trade deadline. Now, initially you figure a line of, say, Hischier, Palmieri, and perhaps Boqvist would be your top fantasy line in New Jersey for now. Boqvist has the hands and enough speed and agility to be able to easily keep up actually with either Hischier or Hughes. One of the big things that will surprise a lot of people is Jesper Boqvist is extremely versatile. He's able to keep up with players. He also has one of the better wrist shots on the entire Devils team. Some have argued even better than Taylor Hall's, which is a high compliment considering Hall has one of the better wrist and snapshots in the entire league. So it's something to be kept in mind. And after that, then it gets a little bit interesting as far as your line combinations. It will be a bit of a juggling act early for Alain Nazarkine, for him to find a top six that works well enough. So do expect some surprises along the way, and maybe some rearrangements here and there. But for the most part, guys that absolutely get helped by this deal are, I mean, you have to believe a Boqvist gets helped. A Hughes gets helped now, because Hughes will see they will probably try to pair Hughes and Hischier at times on the top power play unit to sort of give it a little bit more potency, if you will. And it does, at least as long as he remains a New Jersey Devil, it helps Wayne Simmonds as well, because Simmonds will keep his role, not only keep his role, but he'll probably move up here and there as conditions warrant.
Chris, we haven't heard much about Nikita Gusev anymore. He was a big sleeper in the preseason. Is there any semblance of renewed interest in this player now that Hall is gone, and maybe there's a chance for him over time to be a top-line left wing for the Devils now?
That will come. People have to be patient with Gusev. He has looked better even defensively. I know it's not a part of his game that's ever going to be perfect, but it has been much improved over the last month or so. It's been one of the more underrated aspects of his game right now. And unfortunately, the scoring has suffered a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, you're going to expect things like that for a player's first year in the league. And now he looks around and goes, well, there's not as much talent here with Taylor Hall being traded. So there is an opportunity for him to eventually become the first-line left winger. He'll be the second-line left winger, more than likely, going forward, or at least until a new coach is named, perhaps. If not by the end of the season, then in short order in the summer. Either way, Gusev still has that potential to be a 35 to 40-point player, and that's fine. I can live with that. He will have an improved second half, I think, because he'll be played more than he was under John Hines. Hines and him just did not get off to the best of footing. They really didn't. And it seems like with Nazardine and the little bit more defensive responsibility Gusev has played, he's going to get a little bit more of ice time going forward. He may play 15, 16 minutes a night over the second half, and that could be enough to boost his totals.
Just quickly here, before we let you go, are the Yotes with Taylor Hall in the lineup on Tuesday, if he plays, is that your best bet tonight over the Sharks?
It absolutely is, because until San Jose can show me some semblance of a consistent defense and consistent goaltending, you have to play him. It doesn't matter if, you know, he was traded and this and that and everything else and all the distractions surrounding it. This is a San Jose team that gave up 6 goals to the New York Rangers, for crying out loud.
And this is nothing new for them. They did this last year, too, during the regular season. So if we're looking for consistency in net there, I don't think it's going to happen. Don't hold your breath on that, Chris.
Folks. I mean, for those listening out there, basically you had one 15-game stretch where Martin Jones looked like a good goaltender, and that was it. And you had that this year for about maybe 7 or 8 games. That's all you're saying.
And it's the Aaron Dell show tonight, by the way. He won
yes,
on Saturday,
it
so it's Dell against Taylor Hall, maybe. So feast
it's not,
ahead
it doesn't
for
look
Hall.
Much better for San Jose.
Well, Chris, we really appreciate the insight, as always, especially with the Devils, who are going to be low ownership in fantasy the rest of the way. And thanks for hopping on very short notice, might I add, on the program today.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
You can catch Chris at ChrisWasselDFS on Twitter. If we didn't answer any of your Taylor Hall questions, you can hit us all up on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese, Pete's at NHL Jensen. Is there anything else that you have to say here, Pete, for takes?
Before Pete jumps in, Bob Bender is at airchecked on Twitter. You know, hit me up. I'm always in my soft clothes, and I have plenty of thoughts on Taylor Hall, which I'm not going to get to right now because Wassel, he carried the load there. I'm not going to get into it right now, but hit me on Twitter so we can chat, go back and forth.
And Wassel, again, is the Devil's Insider, in addition to being our resident DFS guru correspondent. So it was good to have him on as well and talk about the other side of the trade with the Devils. And back to Hall, though, individually from a fantasy standpoint, people are still trying to wheel and deal this guy and capitalize on this potential uptick. One really interesting trade proposal I saw, I got 2 questions about it from 2 different people. Who do you like more, Johnny Gaudreau or Taylor Hall? Those are 2 guys that were compared in the preseason, and I think Gaudreau is much safer. That's all I really said.
He's a more elite player. I would side with Gaudreau there for sure. Now, Taylor Hall, again, you know, this Arizona team, it seems like the scoring dries up in the desert. So, you know, I wouldn't go gung-ho. I wouldn't be throwing out 55 trade proposals trying to get this guy.
Yep.
If you have him, good for you. Stand pat. You did it. He's on a better team now. But if you don't have this guy, I would try and gain exposure to him by someone like OEL, who's underperformed, Clayton Keller, who's underperformed, or Phil Kessel for power play exposure, who's also underperformed.
And like if Schmaltz is available or Garland, like Chris was talking up, I mean, Garland's in double digits in goals. If he somehow finds his way into the top 6, even if he's not playing with Hall, he could see a benefit. And then Dvorak, I'm actually, as of this morning, we were talking about it, I'm this morning a Christian Dvorak fantasy owner in a league that counts faceoffs, and he could be Hall center. So let's go.
Anything else on Hall? Because I'd like to get to the slate. I know the listeners would
Big
like
slate.
Us to get to the slate. Huge slate. Anything else on Hall? Just want to do my due diligence here.
Put a bow on it by saying this. If Stepan or Dvorak are available in your league, grab one or the other. Check the line combinations for the next week or so, and then you can make the decision whether you're keeping that player.
So do you agree with Chris that the Coyotes are a lock against the Sharks tonight?
I would say yes if Hall plays. In my DFS lineup, I have Phil Kessel and Derek Stepan. I actually made 2 lineups. The one I used with the FanDuel Guru is an absolute fuego lineup. hit me up on Cash App for that because I really do think that one's going to make a lot of money tonight. But let's turn ahead to the LA-Boston game. This is a major, major hotspot for Boston here to romp the Kings.
I just wanted to add that I think there is some appeal in the Sharks, and it seems like they get up for certain games like this. Everybody's talking up the Coyotes like they're a Stanley Cup contender right now. Sharks might just beat them in their own building, even if Hall plays. There's going to be a little time to work out some kinks, and I like the response that I've seen from like Timo Meier, and maybe Dell puts together a little winning streak. But yeah, back to the Kings. I mean, you got to get a Bruin in your lineup. I have Marchand. I know you got two of the other top dogs for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
One of a number of huge favorites for this slate. Boston's one of them.
Yeah, I see no reason to go against the grain here with LA. I will say I wrote our DFS picks article on NHL.com/fantasy yesterday, and I put a graph on Anze Kopitar in there because he had a nice little goal performance in their past game. So, you know, don't expect the Kings to lay flat here. If someone's going to get on the board, it's going to be Kopitar. So if you are looking for a low ownership, high-end player to round out your linership, that would be your guy.
Actually, in one of my leagues, I had Kopitar on Sunday, and he pulled me into a tie. It was not my best week by any account, but Kopitar has that big game potential. Also, Tyler Toffoli, who's not playing with Kopitar, provides some against-the-grain value. 7 points in his past 4 games, 3 multi-point games. Toffoli, you were talking him up, right, a couple shows ago, and he's keeping it going.
Solid player. And now for Toronto, they've got a great spot against the Buffalo Sabres tonight. I do expect Toronto to win this game. And in my FanDuel Guru lineup generator, I actually have William Nylander, or it led me to pick him. So I have a good gut feeling on him tonight. I think he has good career numbers against the Sabres as well. So a nice little adding icing on the cake there.
He was one of the bigger fallers in the forward rankings this week. You have faith in William Nylander for the rest of the season. He still, almost every game, plays with Matthews.
Well, it's funny. The Leafs are still kind of working out the kinks with the point share there. We're seeing Tyson Barrie go up and down like a yo-yo. Morgan Riley has a good game, and then you don't hear from him for the next one. So the Leafs are a hard team to pinpoint in DFS. That's why I'm not stacking up, but that's why I like Willie to get it done.
And Tyson Barrie got banged up, sustained an ankle injury. He could play Tuesday, but they're kind of wishy-washy on his availability for the rest of the week. Sounds like he'll be back at some point this week, though, because the x-rays were negative, so that's good news.
So what was your interesting find on the slate this morning with maybe a minus 410? Remind me who that is.
It's the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Ottawa Senators, who are on the second of a back-to-back, maybe the biggest favorite of the entire NHL season.
That's I haven't what seen we anything all
said,
like that.
So Bobby said it as well. So, yeah, but the only caveat with this game is Kucherov is a game time decision. This is a game to monitor leading up to puck drop. If you hear that Kucherov's out, take Ottawa for fun. Just play around, right? With that, those type of an odds.
$10.
$10 on it.
A little extra holiday money. Throw it on the Sens tonight. I mean, I don't think they're going to win this game, but you might as well. The odds are so heavily in favor of the Lightning. You might as well just throw a little scratch on the Sens.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay has laid its fair share of eggs this season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's some appeal there for sure. And, yeah, for Tampa Bay, though, like we wanted to mention Alex Killorn because we were talking about him in previous weeks as a streaky player, which he's been throughout his career. But when you look at 26 points in 29 games, my goodness, add him in standard leagues.
And 3 multi-point games in his past 5. Love nice. To see that. Top waiver wire ad of the week for me, goaltender position-wise, would be UC Saros, who had a nice win against the Rangers. Again, Vegas, they know more than we do about hockey. Let's just call a spade with that. They predicted that game on Monday night, which I sided with them. I'm like, I'm not even going to break this one down. I'm going with Vegas all the way. So UC Saros, nice big win for him on Monday, which leads me to believe I think he's going to garner more starts than Pekka Rinne, who struggled mightily this year.
I agree, and his ownership is so low. It's under 15% right now for UC Saros, and we've talked enough about him to know that we have faith in his potential in the seasons to come and certainly here and now. So for the Islanders, they host the Preds, who are on short rest. The Islanders' second line is making some noise right now with Beauvillier and Brock Nelson, right?
Very good for the Islanders to get that depth scoring. If they can sustain that, that is going to be a very hard team to beat. I would not bet on Nashville in this game. I just can't see it. They started Saros Monday. I don't think they're going back to the well Tuesday. So if you need a safety option in a parlay, I do like Thomas Greiss tonight for the New York Islanders.
Hey, he's in my lineup at the moment as my goaltender. We'll see if that changes by the end of the show, but I think it's his turn in the rotation. It's like a pitching staff with Varlamov and Thomas Greiss. It's been every other game the entire season.
Now, good news here on my early morning Twitter patrol. I saw that Travis Konecny was back on the ice for the Flyers. I don't think he's going to suit up and play Tuesday, but at least that's encouraging for the Flyers. Maybe get a little momentum, hinting at a bounce back against the Anaheim Ducks.
That's much needed positive vibes for the Philadelphia Flyers, especially after what we were talking about with Lindblom, and of course with Konechny being out with the concussion, and now Farabee suspended 3 games. So it's when it rains, it pours, unfortunately. But yeah, hopefully Konechny is back real soon, and they have a winnable game at home against the Ducks tonight.
So I can't stop talking about my lineup tonight. Hopefully it comes through. But my goalie choice, I was torn between going with Merzlikins for Columbus or Bernier for Detroit, because that game, not only will it be low ownership, not only will nobody be watching that game, but one of those goalies, Bernier's got 2 straight wins. He's going for 3 straight tonight. He's playing out of his mind. He's got 3 assists on the season. Hopefully you get a bonus for that in DFS. And then, but Columbus is playing decent hockey too.
I like the Red Wings in this game. I like the pulse that I saw from them last week. And even after they fell down big against the Kings, they came back a little bit at the end of that game. Filip Hronek's in my lineup. If you don't know, you know. Dennis Cholowski was sent down to the AHL. He was running the top power play unit for most of the season. I've been eager to see Hronek on power play one for the entire season. And now that Mantha is on that unit as well, back from injury, I'm actually taking both of those guys tonight, Mantha and Hronek in DFS.
Cool. And I've got John Bernier for $7,100 bargain bin hunter alert. Another little injury note here tonight, Brian Rust is battling an illness, so he's a game time call against the Calgary Flames. If he doesn't suit up and play, I like Calgary big in that one.
And Gino has an illness too, so they're line mates. They're both sick. Hopefully they're both back. But yeah, if one or both are back in, worth rostering for sure. The Flames have been playing well, but they got shut out in their last game against the Hurricanes. So maybe that offense was a bit of a mirage. We'll see.
I think they're going to keep it going. They didn't look too bad, honestly, against the Canes. So we'll see there tonight. I do like Calgary again in that game. A player that I love in DFS tonight's Neil Pionk for the Winnipeg Jets. Only $4,400, Pete, for the top power play. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's got to be in your lineup because you look at their forwards. They're all playing so well. Their top 5 forwards between Wheeler, Scheifele, Ehlers, Laine, Kyle Connor, but it's hard to choose those guys on a game-to-game basis. But Neil Pionk, 3 assists the other day, 2 on the power play, is in my lineup as well.
And Winnipeg's actually home dogs in that game, so there's a little appeal there.
No respect,
but maybe Vegas knows something we don't. Carolina has been playing pretty well on the road. And James Reimer, might I add, making a case. If you've got Peter Mrazek as a number one goalie in fantasy, you should absolutely handcuff him with James Reimer and get every single Hurricane start.
Interesting note about this Canes-Jets game. Both teams have the exact same record, 20-11-2. The Canes are darn good right now, and they're 2-0-1 so far on this important 5-game road trip. So maybe get a piece of the Hurricanes if you can. But again, I like the Jets in this game. And Reimer is a must handcuff because Mrazek, even through the good times, has not been great.
Now, my Rob must-watch game of the night is actually Montreal versus Vancouver. I like the under in this game. Both teams have been a little, maybe flat offensively lately. So hopefully we see some goals in this one. But if you're going to throw some cash on it, I would expect it to go under.
I like that pick for sure. I wanted to note two Montreal forwards joined our top 100 forward ranks this week between Thomas Tatar and Joel Armia. Both really solid. Standard league, if Armia's out there, he covers almost everything. Tatar is one of the most consistent, underrated forwards in the game this year. So get a piece of one of those two if you can in DFS as well.
And then one really crazy stat I found this morning was Carson Soucy, defenseman for the Minnesota Wild, is plus 16.
That's your guy
this season.
Right?
That's the guy.
Your pick.
DFS and now season long alike. I'm going to go to bat for him on TV today. I just think that if anybody is a plus above 10, it's worth streaming in fantasy because that's always one gold standard category. If you win that week, it's going to help make the difference. Pick up Carson Soucy. Now, against Vegas tonight, that's not a great matchup for Minnesota, but I do still think if he's going to chip in, he's probably good for an assist and a couple hits and a couple blocks.
Good notes for sure, and he's trending up in deep leagues. Maybe worth a pickup because of that category specialty.
I like to see Robbie really digging in on the numbers and the research. This is good. This is good. Robbie's inspiring.
I'm coming into form, Bob. It took me a little bit, a real ice cold start, but the picks have been trending up and up. So
and the research and the stats.
Deep dives.
It is nice to see.
I got a stack in this Vegas game. I got Stevenson and Pacioretty. Mm-hmm. Just ride the hot hand there. And another interesting note for Minnesota, they sent Kaapo Kähkönen down, and that means Devin Dubnyk maybe could play. He hasn't played a hockey game in over a month right now, so we'll all be happy to see Dubnyk when he comes back from the personal issue.
Should I get Davey on line one with Dubnyk?
I mean,
he's excited for Dubnyk.
Dubnyk? I say Dubnyk.
No, but he was, I think, one of the previous shows, he was going back and forth.
And yeah, and I think in one of his drafts.
He's only been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah, 15
right?
years.
Anyway, yeah, let's see if we can get Davey on line one to react to the Dubnyk return. I know he's high on him.
So let's just say this, though. If Dubnyk or Dubnyk, now I've got it, Davey. What, it's contagious, this mispronunciation. So if Dubnyk starts for the Wild, Pete, I kind of like them rallying around that storyline.
Yeah, Vegas is big favorites, but they're prone to a bad game.
They're so inconsistent this year.
Yeah, they're really inconsistent. They won that great game at Dallas the other day. Tough place to play. They could beat anybody or lose to anybody. Get blown out by anybody any given game.
And what is going on with the second line? Why has there been three different centers there this year? Are you serious? Paul Stastny. Look at what he did in the playoffs, and you're not going to keep that guy there because he's had a couple bad games. They acquired Chandler Stephenson for a bag of rocks, not even pucks, and they slot this guy in the top six alongside Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty.
It's weird because, yeah, when they made that Stephenson trade, it was like we didn't even think twice about dismissing it from a fantasy perspective. I mean, Chandler Stephenson's never done anything fantasy-wise, but now he's playing with two of the best players in the game. Kind of strange.
Here's a royal idea. Why don't you put one of those guys, Pacioretty, on the top line and then maybe Riley Smith on the second line? Why does Stone and Pacioretty, why do they have to be handcuffed together like a prison sentence?
Did you see who was playing on their first power play for a bit the other day and scored a goal?
No. Do I even want to know?
The honorable Valentin Zhikov from the AHL. So all this flux is not just limited to Stevenson and Stastny.
Yikes.
Valentin Zhikov is back in the mix here for Vegas.
Major announcement. I checked FanDuel. Taylor Hall is not in the contest tonight, which is a blunder. But what are you going to do? Can't do anything about it. If you want the exposure, we've already said who to get. Go after Kessel. You like Dvorak. I mean, get OEL.
Yeah, for sure. There's good value.
Why is he not in the contest? What is the deal there? Because they don't know how to price him because he's going to Arizona? What's the scenario?
Probably just because they released the contest salaries like the night before and the trade happened at 5:00. So you hoped that he would have been added, but we carry on. We go the exposure route. You could still get a piece of what Taylor Hall is offering against the Sharks.
I mean, the last thing that we should say about it, I guess, is, you know, he's not confirmed to play. So just keep an eye on that. I hope they get him in the lineup because I think all three of us can agree if that's one game you're staying up for, it's going to be a must watch.
Do you have a prediction on how this Coyotes season will progress this season? I think we both picked them to make the playoffs, so that's no surprise. They have a higher ceiling now. How far can they go with Taylor Hall?
One and done.
Wow, I disagree on that.
I think they could win a series.
When I say one and done, I mean they win a series. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was silly.
Yes, okay.
They win a series.
That's enough. That's good.
I think they win. They definitely win a series. I could see them winning two. Here's one thing to keep in mind that I think will help them win two series. Jarmelson, the defenseman that was so good with Chicago during their deep runs, he's on the shelf for Arizona. He only played four games this year, got a bad injury, was expected to be out for 3 months. When he comes back late in the year, their defense is so deep on paper. I think a lot of teams in the West, those teams like Colorado that are just kind of more run-and-gun type teams, I think they're going to struggle against a team with Kemper and Net and then that deep defense.
They definitely are built more like a playoff team, almost cut from the same cloth. Not as heavy as the Blues, but a team where they will frustrate you over the course of a seven-game series. Maybe they can win two series. I just see them winning the one, and then that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a seven-game series against like Vegas or the Sharks, I don't really like their chances in a series like that.
The Sharks.
Pete, man, you're such a homer.
Homer? What if the Sharks are a wild card and
Pete,
the Coyotes win
the
division?
Sharks. Give up on the Sharks. They're
done.
Oh,
my God.
They're
toast.
Well,
I will say this in defense of Pete. If there is one person that's going to be right right about the Sharks. It's probably Pete because you do watch a lot of their games and you have the scoop.
Oh,
and
but sometimes you just got to say, Petey, stop with the homerism. They're done.
I'm from Long Island.
Fact,
I'm not
what?
From San Jose.
Pete, I mean, listen, there's 5 days over the course of a work week. 3 out of those 5 days, you usually have a Sharks pullover on. I'm just saying, you're a big-time Sharks guy. You watch the games every night. You love the Sharks. Don't tell me otherwise. Listen, I'm going to declare them right now. Mm-hmm. I'm putting the stake in them. The Sharks will not make the playoffs. The team is toast.
Right.
They cannot get into the playoffs with the goaltending that they are receiving.
What if they make a move?
I mean, if they get Robin Leonard, I still don't know if that does it. I don't know who the goalie is that they're going to get. Robin Leonard's the only guy that's coming to mind.
He'd be a good fit there.
He's the only guy that's coming to mind.
Yeah.
They're toast.
Okay. But, yeah, the Coyotes can definitely win a playoff series, and I'm excited to see them do so because I felt like even when they went to the Western Conference Finals in 2012, mm-hmm. they didn't have an exciting roster. Now they do. Now they have some superstars. They have some real talent and the defensive structure. Even some of those guys like Chychrun, who's always injured, mm-hmm. Grabner, who's always injured. These are important players when you get that deep into the playoffs.
Sorry I went off on the tangent there, but let's refocus, mm-hmm. let's get back online here, and let's real quickly go through the DFS picks, the mm-hmm. lineups, real quickly, fire them off, Pete, and then best bets, and then we have to put a bow on this because we are going over the allotted amount of time.
I'm going really cheap at center. I got Chandler Stephenson, who plays with Pacioretty and Stone. I got Christian Dvorak against San Jose, hoping that he gets some benefit from Taylor Hall. Pacioretty stacked with Stevenson, Mantha, Brad Marchand, Mitchell Marner, probably the first time I'm taking him all season. He's healthy. Tavares is healthy. They're playing really well together. So go Marner, spend up for him. OEL, and then either Hronik or Neil Pionk, depending on whether or not you want to stack the Red Wings like I am, and then Thomas Greiss for his share in the crease for New York.
All right, for my lineup tonight, I've teased it 25 times already on the show. Let's get right into it. Bergeron, Nelson, Pastrnak, Nylander, Nyquist, revenge game, Roslovic, Giordano, Riley, and Bernier.
Jonathan Bernier, I like it. Maybe he'll get you Johnny some bonus points for the assist, right?
I hope so.
I think it's a good spot for Detroit.
Yeah.
I do, so... that might be an against the grain play that you folks should look into. Best bets for a Tuesday, Peter.
I want to have some fun. I'm going to take Ottawa at Tampa Bay just with that ridiculous line. And especially remember, if Kucherov does not play, take that game seriously. You're not going to see a line like that maybe again for the rest of the season. I like Philly to bounce back at home against Anaheim. And then I like Detroit. I mean, Detroit's a home underdog. I said without hesitation that I think they're mm-hmm. going to win that game. Blue Jackets coming off a huge shutout. I mean, man, oh man, the Blue Jackets, let's give them a quick shout out. They beat the Capitals twice in 1 week.
Really
amazing.
Really impressive stuff. For my best bets tonight, I'm going with the Calgary Flames over the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I've also liked the spot for the New York Barry Trotz Islanders tonight. Think they bounce back, and they're winning every game. I think they get up for this one against Nashville, who might be a little tired tonight.
Fair enough. You see all that stuff they're doing with Barry Trotz with the Christmas shirts.
It's hilarious.
The guy's the legend.
He is.
You would think that the Islanders would be able to beat Nashville tonight. Nashville inconsistent. They beat the Rangers. Stifling defense. I like that Islanders pick. I like the Detroit pick. I like your Calgary pick, so I don't really know how I can be unique here. Let me just take a quick glance at the board, and let me tell you, obligatory, you have to put something on Ottawa just because they're the biggest underdogs of the season or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to give out one, give me the, I'm going to do it because I'm going to rag on the Sharks, the Coyotes wipe the floor with Aaron Dell and that awful goaltending and the Shark Tank. You springs a leak and the Coyotes. How? Woo!
Sharks are favored somehow, but we'll see.
This guy is such a homer.
It's
Kemper.
A PD watch
Start
game.
Kemper.
Not,
Start Kemper.
I'm taking score around.
Kemper.
I'm
yeah.
taking some Yotes. I'm starting Kemper in our season Yotes. Long league, the one I have
can't
with
do
Robbie.
A how. I can't do a how. It's about as good as I can.
I love it.
All right.
We'll wrap this thing up here. So for Bender, Reese, Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Thursday. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.